Chances are most of you have forgotten how spooked everyone was around March 2009. That's when the Dow hit a low of about 6,600. And boy oh boy, since then, the Dow has rallied ginormously to about 23,400. That's up a whopping 16,350 points over the past 8.5 years for an average annual increase of about 16%. Well above its long-term average annual return of about 6.5% to 7% over the past 130 years. So we've had quite an amazing run of late. The Dow is now close to its all-time high of about 23,600, which it hit on November 7th, just a few weeks ago, and well above its October 2007 pre-recession peak of about 14,100. We're also past the dreaded month of October that's historically been pretty traumatic for investors. And not just that, the Dow was actually up 3.6% this October, so that was welcome relief for investors as well. Moving to other indexes, the S&P 500 has essentially moved in lockstep with the Dow since 2009, but the NASDAQ, which primarily consists of tech stocks, has performed even better, with an average annual rate of return of 21% over each of the past 8.5 years. That's pretty phenomenal. Those who stayed invested through the downs may have had immense satisfaction of seeing their stock portfolios soar over the past 9 years or so, which brings me to what's on a lot of investors' minds nowadays. How much further can this rally go? And when might this party stop? Should you continue to stay invested? Should you go out and get out and wait for the dip? Should you hedge your bets or diversify into other asset classes? Now, these are really tough questions, and no one, not even myself, can give you definitive answers to them. Even so, let's try to make sense of it all. I'm going to reconstruct the factors that drove the rally, then deconstruct it to predict what might happen next. So let's start with why we've had such an amazing rally, and here's a few reasons that jump to mind. The first is that the Fed was very quick and decisive easing interest rates from about 5.25% in July of 2007 to virtually 0% by December of 2008. When that move finally sunk in about 3 months later, by March of 2009, the rally in U.S. stocks began. The potential reason for the rally is that many investors may have realized that CDs and bonds offered near-zero returns and stocks were the only place to be. The second reason behind the rally was that the Fed saw the carnage and the massive risks to our economy and, despite a lot of opposition, stepped in and initiated its quantitative easing program in late November 2008. Now, it spent $3.7 trillion to buy government bonds, bank debt, mortgage-backed securities, stocks, and other financial assets in order to stimulate the economy. The idea was that buying massive amounts of financial assets would raise asset prices, keep interest rates low, reduce borrowing costs, increase money supply, and spur lending and investment that would help the economy recover. While some may disagree, I do believe the Fed's bold actions played a leading role in bringing our economy, our banks, and our corporations and consumer confidence back from the brink and renewed the world's faith in our markets. In addition, think back to the end of 2009. International markets were doing a lot worse than us. Several European countries like Greece and Portugal, Ireland and Spain were in the throes of near catastrophic debt crises that went on through the middle of 2014. Moreover, stocks of relatively healthy U.S. companies and especially banks and financial institutions were selling at prices that were construed as shockingly low by many, and that brought in record flows from U.S. and foreign institutional investors. There's one more factor that's been pretty key for the markets over the past year, and that was Donald Trump's election as president on November 8, 2016. He ran on a platform of offering tax cuts and less business regulation, and that stance may be viewed as favorable to business, and combining that with the hope of less government intervention and lower taxes, with the generally solid earnings from U.S. corporations, it's led to a 31% rise in the Dow as of today from the time Trump was elected president. So what now? Do you stay invested? Do you hedge your bets? Or get completely out? Let's deconstruct a little. All right, coming to the present. Interest rates are still really low. Fed funds rate is 1 to 1.25%. and it's projected to rise to only about 3% in 2020. In parallel, mortgage rates are also near all-time lows. So this accommodative interest rate environment bodes well for housing, investments, job creation, and corporate profits. On the flip side, policymakers at the Federal Reserve are confident that the U.S. economy is on a steady footing with inflation under control at about 2.2% and unemployment down to just 4.1%. So they've started unwinding their purchases of government and agency bonds this past October, starting with a reduction of $10 billion each month through December, and then ramping up the reduction by $10 billion every quarter. So my math shows that they could take away $1.65 trillion from the bond markets through the end of 2020. Now, while this is old news and should already be factored into the market, it could just become a psychological trigger that pushes traders over the edge and causes a sell-off in bonds and a spike in interest rates. That could also rattle the stock market. Now, let me put in a caveat here. This unwinding could do damage, but the Fed has clearly stated that they will put unwinding on hold if the economy worsens. I don't think the Fed will stop if it's just to prevent markets from correcting, though. So this is still a pretty real risk. As I said, the Dow's been up 31% since Trump was elected, but his healthcare reform efforts have failed, so there's a chink in his armor. And the markets are watching to see if he can deliver on tax reform by December 31st. And even that looks to be in question, with very different versions from the House and the Senate. If Trump fails to deliver on corporate tax cuts, markets could give back some of those gains from the Trump effect in late December or early January. But the clearest reason for the market correction lies in what some consider to be overheated stock valuations. For instance, just last month, Goldman Sachs reported that the S&P 500 has a forward price-to-earnings, or P.E. ratio, of 18.7, which is way above their long-term average of about 13. And that puts stock valuations in the 98th percentile, which means S&P stocks have been below current levels 98% of the time. Or put another way, they've been above these levels only 2% of the time. More tellingly, over the past four decades, stocks have been more expensive only 11% of the time. So if you buy at current valuations, there's also a pretty good chance that your future returns on this new money will be below historic returns. So lower your return expectations going forward. Now, these lower returns are still above what you're going to receive by investing in bonds. So stocks may still be preferable to you because of this low return environment. Now, getting back to my point on how much longer will this party last? These lower returns may slow down the influx of money into the market, which also may soften stock prices. Stock valuations are trippy right now, but it makes sense that they are, in my opinion, because when interest rates are this low and inflation is this tame, you would expect stock prices to be high. But any significant change in either of these two factors may spook investors enough for a rush to the exits for profit taking and may cause shares to give up 10 to 20% or more. So, very high valuations, Fed policies, and even politics could take the punch bowl away from Wall Street and bring the party to an end. Now, I don't foresee a major crash, but a reasonable correction is certainly not off the cards, especially over the next few quarters, and that might be just another buying opportunity. So speak with your financial advisor and talk about locking in some of your gains, perhaps, or hedging your bets, or perhaps investing in something that has an inverse correlation to the market. And having said all this, though, trying to play the game of cat and mouse with the markets usually ends up in tears. So you may just consider staying put and riding it out.